Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. In Mystic, Connecticut, saying good morning. This is the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. Thank you for all for listening. If you'd like to call in today, 860-464-9490. I've been in my office since 7:30 this morning, researching and writing with my editorial staff, namely moi. Okay, but I have a good routine. I like doing it. I don't like coming on the show without preparing ahead of time. Some of the stories from the front, what things have been going on this week. Right now, I want to start off talking about what everybody thinks about as they get older. Social security, not insecurity, okay? Now, you claim, don't be in a rush to claim your benefits, kids, all right? If you claim benefits before your full retirement age, 66, 67, depending on the year you were born, your benefit will be permanently reduced if you claim before your permanent retirement age. They call it FRA. So you go to the Social Security site, and you see FRA time and time again. That's your full retirement age, okay? Right now it runs between 66 and 67. Now you remember, it used to be always 65. But when Reagan and Congress back in the 80s said, well, we're going to raise it slowly, but we're going to do it way out. Well, guess what? Way out is here now, okay, 30, 35 years later. So right now, if you claim at 62, 63, 64, 65, your benefit will be permanently reduced by 6.67% for each year you claim early, up to 36 months. So on a monthly basis, it translates to about 0.5% per month. Beyond 36 months early, your benefits are reduced by 5% a year, or 0.5%. Sorry about all the math, but it is what it is. For example, if your benefit of full retirement age, FRA, at 66 is calculated to be $1,500, filing at 62 will reduce your monthly benefit to $1,125 from the $1,500. And bear in mind, you're locked into that, other than the natural inflation adjustments. And if you keep working, it really gets complicated at that point. So we can talk about that later. You can collect even while you're working. Don't let the fact that you're working keep you from claiming Social Security benefits, okay? Depending on your age, a certain amount of your earnings will be ignored for Social Security purposes. And it gets a little tricky now because of the new tax law, okay? If you reach full retirement age after 2017, the first of $16,920 in earnings are now ignored. Beyond that amount, every $2 in earnings will reduce your benefits by a buck. If you reach retirement age during 2016, the first $45,880 earnings are ignored. So you can see they really cut back the amount of money you can earn while collecting Social Security. If you're at full retirement age, you can earn an unlimited amount of income and your benefits will not be affected. So if you take early Social Security before your FRA, full retirement age, okay? Now, everybody should be on the site, Social Security site, and get registered. You got to give your cell phone number because every time you go back there, they'll send you the code, okay? So they have very good security now. But that's very, very important to do, okay? So bear in mind, if you're at full retirement age, you can earn all you want. And as Sam from Wesley pointed out last week, as you continue working, they will recategorize and recalculate your benefit and increase it through the years if you keep working beyond your FRA, okay? It's important to point out that any reduction is actually withholding to be paid at a later date. In other words, if your earnings cause your benefit checks to be reduced, it will permanently increase your benefits later on. Now, you should also understand the formula that Social Security uses, okay? And I'm just going full bore into this so we can talk about it a little bit and then move on from there. Unlike many pension plans, Social Security is not based on your last few years of earnings at retirement. Rather, Social Security benefits are determined by a formula that averages your best 35 years of inflation-indexed earnings. Here's not knowing how this can be affected. Say you're 62 and you consider filing for Social Security early. And your first 35 years of earnings, a couple of them were extremely low, maybe from a part-time job when you were younger. You maybe spent a couple of years unemployed or underemployed. As a personal example of a person writing this, they said that they had 18 years of earnings on the Social Security statement, but two of those were from a part-time work in high school and were less than $5,000. He planned to work at least 37 years in order to get those 2 years to be ignored. So they count all 35 years, okay? And if you can work an additional year or two, you can raise your average, therefore your benefits and whatnot, okay? So that just gives you an idea of how Social Security works. If you worked in very low-paying jobs and then the last 5 or 10 years, you made a lot more money, which is not uncommon. It happens from time to time. Bear in mind, they're going to do the average of the 35 years, so it's very, very interesting, and it's good to know that in any case. It's a point of confusion with a lot of people and stuff like that. All right, just to switch gears a little bit, in a study of over 26,000 stocks, they call them equities, from 1926 to 2015, only 4% of the listed stocks were responsible for the overall net gain of the U.S. stock market from 1926 to 2015. The other 96 collectively matched the one-month treasury bills over their lifetimes. So basically, 1 in 20, 1 in 25 companies are the ones. And people usually know who they are, and that's why they go way up and have these huge corrections, but then go way up again. And a lot of people can't take that. So why don't you just find the 4% and kick out the ones you know out of the averages? Well, mutual fund managers know these companies many times correct 40% or more. And then they go up 5 times. And they can't afford the risk of the quarterly performance numbers, so they have to they get scared. And that hurts your long-term returns. So they invest with the group and brag when they beat the averages, you know, by 2 or 3%. So here's the problem, okay? You can buy these companies, and you know who they are because they're at the top of the earnings growth list, and it's not hard to find them. But they do correct, all right? And many times they're in technology, they're innovative companies. They'll go, oh, they're too risky. But I maintain that it's kind of risky not to have some exposure to that area to keep up inflation longer term. So these are some of the things you want to think about and talk about. I've been kind of having fun watching this group, and I think they're out there. So there's 8,000 publicly traded stocks in America, approximately. And out of that 8,000 is about 300 that are worth a darn, okay? And out of the 300, you probably know half of them, you know? So bear in mind, when they correct like they are right now, they're getting beat up, okay? You got to stay with them. You got to stay with them. And if you're not exposed to that area, when we're having a sale, you got to look at them. Because if you can get into that group, okay, you will do better than most investors that, you know, when you buy an index, the problem with the index is you got to include all that other 95, 96% of companies that, you know, they don't really have much going on. So that 4 or 5%. Those are the companies that I think if you're going to buy companies individually, these are companies you got to look at. So in any case, let me know. I keep a list. I have 10 or 12 of them I like. They tend to be the stronger ones. And right now, they're having a big sale. They're knocking them down. They're beating them up. And like I've said before, we're the only business when you have a sale, everybody runs out of the building. So keep that in mind and don't fall for it. If you'd like to get my Retirement 10 Commandments or come in and make an appointment at any time, please email me at dobryan@ifgrr.com or call my office, 860-415-9614. Or you can go to my website and press the magic button at obryanretire.com. We never charge for you to do a consultation and talk. And really gives us a wonderful opportunity to get to know each other without the meter running or worrying about any of that. So we'll be back in a few minutes, and thank you for listening to the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. Back in a few. Thanks. back, everybody. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, on the Retirement Life and Investing Show here on 94.9 News Now. We have a caller, Sam from Westerly. How are you, Sam?
Good morning, Radio Free New England.
Hey, what's going on? How was your Thanksgiving?
Subdued, quiet.
Yeah? Did you do the relative thing, or did you hang low?
Well, I was invited out to one of the relatives.
Yeah? Oh, good. Good, good. Cold enough for you?
These nice new windows keep me warm.
That's good. That's good. That's good. So what's on your mind?
In this turmoil in the market these days, supposing I go and, I go buy new stock, or I want to change the stock in my 401k or something. The consequences of taxes kind of crosses my mind. What could you tell me about that?
Well, if you have money in qualified, which is 401ks, 403bs, anything tax-deferred, IRAs, Roth IRAs, IRA rollovers, anything qualified, you can make as many changes in those plans, and no 1099 or tax document will be sent, because they are, while the money is in those plans, tax deferred. Okay?
Okay.
The only time the government is interested in those plans is when you start at 70 and a half, it's mandatory, to start taking money out of those plans. And then it's a taxable event. And if you're in a low tax bracket, you don't have to withhold anything, but you do have to fill a document telling your provider not to withhold anything. So you can change within your 401k, you can make all the changes you want, and you don't have to worry about a tax document. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you said something about after 7 and a half, of course, you have to begin withdrawing, and then you have to pay taxes on it.
Right. But you have to do an RMD at 7 and a half, and you have to take out a certain percentage. It usually runs around 4%, and by the time you're 80, it runs up to probably 6, 6 and a half. I'm running rough numbers, but
yeah,
that's kind of it. So I have some people still working in their 70s and 80s that put money in and then have to take some money out,
Yeah.
So that sort of thing. So does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah. And when I was listening to the news break at the top of the hour, a political question comes to mind. If I could bring it up, something about the governor of Connecticut wants to request the funds to build bridges and things in the state of Connecticut.
Right.
Well, what's going to happen if they got funds from them? What about those tolls? Now, the federal government's going to kind of say, hey, wait a minute, we're giving you money, then you're going to collect tolls on them on top of that?
That's an interesting question, and I think I'll pass. As you knew I would. People ask me about tolls all the time, and all I say to tolls is, listen, Connecticut residents, all right, you're in Westerly, right, Rhode Island?
Right, yeah.
Connecticut residents' homes are down 30% in the last 6 years versus the rest of the country. Do you think tolls will help with bringing our value of our homes back? And I would say probably not. Probably not.
Well, someone will say, well, what about the other 35 states that's got tolls?
Yeah, that's the clever argument. Concentrate on just one tiny sliver of the tax revenue in the tax picture of a state and use that to hammer home what you want anyway. Please.
While you're watching one hand, you don't know what the other hand is doing.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. How's that lockbox working out for you,
What do you mean, the one with no bottom?
Hey, how's all those casino revenues that were promised back to those tenants? How's that working out for you? How do you know when they're lying? Their lips are moving. How do you know? So, I'm joking around with Sam, but Sam and I are good friends, and it is what it is.
Okay, Dennis.
All right, Sam.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
So, anyway, I had a gentleman come in my office. He recently inherited some money and property, and this was going on all over where, the older parents are passing away, and the kids are starting to inherit. And so he inherited some money and some property from his mom, and he's struggling to handle his newfound wealth. He was a man who lived a simple life and generally enjoyed himself. He relayed to me his fears, and he really, really looked nervous. He said, I do not want to make a stupid mistake. He went on, he went on and went through the holdings with him. And I urged him to consider selling the out-of-state property, which is worth about $300,000 and was currently rented month to month. He looked very relieved when I mentioned this. He goes, he was up nights thinking about how he was going to handle that property from so far away, and it really worried him. I told him we could combine that with the cash he inherited and give him a nice income flow to supplement his small business income and his Social Security. The account, I would tell him to have a TOD designation on it to avoid probate, and it's transfer on death, so it could go directly to his kids or whoever else he wanted to leave it to. I'd never seen a man so happy to have someone he could talk to, you know, because he had never been in this situation before with his newly found inheritance. And he laughed that I was full of wisdom because of my white hair, and we both laughed because his hair was almost as white as mine. So we both laughed and continue on. The local house, I think I told him, I think he needs to set up a living trust to handle that because that's real property. And so he could pass it on to his loved ones and they could all share it in the way he wanted without probate. I said the document could cost about $1,500 to $2,000 to write up the document. But it was well worth it because it would save on costly probate fees and also give them additional privacy. And he goes, probate files, you know, people who know the know-how, they can be opened up and looked at. So it's something to think about. So he was very happy, very nice man, very humble man, and we'll get him organized in the way he wants to. And I think we'll have a very, very good relationship. You know, one man called me from Long Island I had met with a while ago, and I just touched back with him, said, how you doing, and everything else. And he was heading up to Massachusetts, and he says to me, well, how much money do you want to invest? And I said, I really don't care. That's up to you. I think there was stunned silence at the other end of the phone. And I said, listen, I care more that you and I can work together successfully, you know, with trust and respect for each other than any particular amount of money, because I don't care. Eventually, if we work together well, you know, you can add to your account. It doesn't matter. But we have to be able to get along. That relationship that you have, that one-on-one relationship you have with me, is more important than minimum account size or any of that stuff. So the other concern I see, the main concern I see of a lot of people, one of the main questions I get on the retirement side is, am I going to outlive my money? Okay? I get that a lot, okay? Of course, it's one of those questions that nobody can really answer, because without knowing your spending habits and your assets and your debts and all that, you know, it's one of those things where you can dance around. But here's some observations after 38 years that I can pass on to all of you about, am I going to outlive my money? Okay? My opinion is this. If you spend a lifetime with good savings habits and retired without debt, in my experience, it almost never happens. And let me explain why. In your 60s, you'll be pretty active. And if the funds are there, I'll personally urge you to travel or explore any interests you have. You want to go to Renaissance fairs? Go to Renaissance fairs. You want to go to dancing or something you're interested in? You want to go to Peru? You got the health. You got the extra funds to do it. Go do it in your 60s, okay? And have fun. In your 70s, this will continue, but generally will slow down because of family obligations. The grandchildren are more plentiful. The kids are older. There'll be more family events. They get married, you know, and especially late 70s, you may not have as much interest in traveling and you want to be closer to home. In your 80s, many of you will enjoy home and hearth more than travel or expensive hobbies, treasuring your moments with loved ones over spending extravagant sums. Also, the other thing is, as you get older, this is on a personal note, things seem ridiculously expensive as you get older, okay? I can't tell you how many times Lori and I have wanted to go to a concert, but cannot justify spending $100, $200 more on a ticket. We saw better bands in the 70s for $6. Yeah, I know. I sound like Dad and Grandpa or whatever, but that's just the way we feel. So, you know, she likes Hall & Oates from years ago, you know. Well, I look in the paper, and it's like 95 to 225. And I looked at it, and she goes, nah, it's not worth it. I would enjoy it knowing we'd spent that. Because our thinking is, and as you get older, in your 70s and 80s, you're thinking back what things used to cost, and you'll tend to fight that urge. Although one exception is cruises. I think cruises are pretty cheap, but you know, you can't get boat sick and all that stuff. So there's some of the thoughts I have on, will you run out of money? It really comes from a lifetime of habits that you formed. You're going to adjust your spending with your situation. If you have medical emergencies and you got to tap in, or if you buy a new car, you're going to tap in, you're going to tend to cut back on some of the other things like you did all your life. That's not going to change. So people that try to scare people and try to sell them annuities based on you'll never run out of money, they're full of it, okay? Invest wisely, watch yourself, the lifetime habits, and don't fall for the prey of the product pushers trying to sell you something. There's no guarantees in this world, as you know already. Another question, you know, I got a question one time, is this legal? And I had to laugh because an older gal came to me with about $300,000 in a local bank and asked me to invest for income. She earned about $800 the year before. Are we going to break? Okay. But we'll go to break, and I'll come back with this story about how this lady who had all this money in the bank and what happened. And her question was, is this legal? In any case, come back. Dennis O'Brien from the O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. Go to www.obrienretire.com. Hit the magic button and set up an appointment. Talk to you in a few. Thanks. Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. Hope everybody's doing well the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We have a caller on the line, Jerry from Guilford. Is this the Jerry I know?
Good morning, Dennis O'Brien. Happy Thanksgiving weekend to you, my friend.
Thank you, and thanks for posting those beautiful pictures of your family. I love them.
We have a two-birthday weekend this weekend.
It's
a lot of fun.
Two daughters, or a daughter and mom, or your birthday?
I have two daughters. Yeah. I have two 16-year-olds as of today, and in a couple of days I'll have a 17 and a 16.
A lot of fun. Teenage girls. I have no experience with them. All boys this way, you know? So, Jerry, you own Guilford Insurance in Guilford, Connecticut, and you are a Medicare supplemental policy expert, more so than I am, for sure. So, what's going on in the Medicare supplemental world? What advice do you have for my listeners as they sign up if they're on Medicare?
Well, Dennis, I just wanted to share with your listeners the fact that I have a lot of my clients that have had the AARP, the Plan F.
Right.
And the reason that they have Plan F, and specifically with AARP, UnitedHealthcare, is that it covers everything.
Right.
And a lot of people like, other than medications, it covers if you go to the hospital, if you go to the doctor, any kind of test, you don't have a copay. And a lot of people have liked that. And they go with AARP mainly because it's the least expensive of the Plan Fs. So many companies offer Plan F, but AARP is a name they've heard of, UnitedHealthcare, and it's the least expensive. So a lot of people have had that. What we're finding this year is that a lot of people are considering and actually moving into a Plan G plan, G as opposed to F, with Anthem. And they're doing this for a couple of reasons. First, it's a better deal, quite frankly, because if you compare side by side F and G, the only difference, the only thing you're giving up by having G as opposed to F, is Plan G does not cover the Part B deductible.
Okay.
And the Part B deductible basically is it covers every, other than hospital or being overnight somewhere or medications, it's the Part B part is for doctor visits, for emergency room, for outpatient procedures, for MRIs, that kind of thing.
Right.
And the Part B deductible is $185 for the year.
For the year.
Right.
Okay.
So Plan G does not cover that. Plan F does.
So you lose the $185. And what do you gain?
So what you gain is significant savings in cost, because the Plan F runs you about $248.75 a month for 2019, if you kept that.
Right.
But the Plan G is $192.05 a month.
So
you're saving $56 a month,
right,
which is about $680 a year.
Right.
And then if you end up needing to use that deductible of the $185, $680 minus $185, you're still ahead of the game, $495.
Wow. And what's the reason for this? Is this just the way the market shook out?
It's basically these companies can charge whatever they choose to charge.
Right.
And I think that Anthem
is being aggressive.
Saw an opportunity to say, hey, we'd like to be competitive in this space, and Plan G is where we're going to make it happen. And the other big difference, which a lot of folks are kind of concerned about, is that the United Healthcare is no longer associated with the Silver Sneakers plan.
Oh.
And so they get a free gym membership at the YMCA or their Planet Fitness, and so that's going away for 2019, where Anthem continues to have the relationship with Silver Sneakers.
That's a big thing, because I go to the Mystic Y in the morning, and I'll tell you, probably a third to a half of our members use Silver Sneakers to cut the cost.
Yeah, it's a big topic for discussion at the local Y's, for sure. I've heard that many times. So
if people want to reach you and get some advice on this area, how can they do that?
Sure. We travel Connecticut. We're independent brokers, so we have all the different plans, and we can kind of give you some kind of transparency and lay it out for you. But we're in Guilford.
Okay.
My company is Guilford Insurance, and we're at 203-689-5260.
Okay.
Or folks can email me also at Jerry@GuilfordINS, short for insurance.
Okay.
Jerry@GuilfordINS.com.
Hey, Jerry, thanks for calling. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis. Have a great one.
You too. Take care.
Take care.
All right. That was Jerry Kenny at Guilford Insurance, trying to help our listeners save some money. So if you're in the Medicare supplemental market, he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. He talks English, not jargon. Honest, straightforward, with integrity, and we expect no less. So thank you very much, Jerry, for calling in. And listeners, if you need a referral to him, let me know, and we're more than happy to help you, because this is an area that causes great confusion. And believe it, and part of it is it's a marketplace. So sometimes Walmart's cheaper, sometimes Amazon's cheaper, sometimes the guy down the street is running a special, and you can go to your local guy and do business. But it is a marketplace, and so you have to have an expert keep an eye on the marketplace for you and then steer you the right way when an opportunity opens up, when Anthem's obviously trying to undercut U.S. healthcare. That's America. That's America, and we're supposed to benefit from it. So, but I think we all need some help, you know, in those areas. So anyway, let's get back. An older gal come in. She had about $300,000 in local bank. She earned about $800 on it. So I said, listen, we can do a moderate risk index income portfolio for you. We buy some U.S. Treasury indexes at 2. We can buy and move up the scale on the risk level. But overall, try to throw off about 6 or 7, you know, in this portfolio. Okay. So I start sending her monthly checks, which average about $1,500 a month. Now, bear in mind, she was getting $800 for the year. So after about 6 months, she calls me up. She says, this is fantastic and everything else. I see the securities changing in value, but so far it looks good, and you keep an eye on it, blah, 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 blah. She goes, I just have one question. And I go, what's that? She goes, is this legal? I go, what do you mean, is it legal? She goes, is this legal to make this much more money? I go, yeah, don't worry. You're going to get a 1099. And we're going to pay taxes on it. But, yeah, it's perfectly legal, and they don't have to worry about it. But I just laughed, because she said, this is too good to be legal. And I said, no. But these are investments, and they can change in value and everything else. But because they're indexes, you're very, very well diversified. And because I bought a different range of risk tolerance across the board, and the best thing about it is they're liquid. They all trade on the exchanges. So there's none of this 5 to 10 year lockup with annuities or all these loaded mutual funds. You can't get out of them for years. Everything I buy is liquid. I don't believe in illiquid investments. It's just me. I just think, you know, it's part of that product pushing mentality that you see at the banks and other places, but I don't believe in it. So that's another question. Another question I get, especially from older women, okay, is, I don't want to be a burden on my children. Okay. And, you know, when I hear this, it's usually a signal to, for me to bring the children in to discuss mom's finances with them. The client many times worries too much about this, and when the children get involved, it's usually a relief to everyone. The children kind of know mom's situation. Mom feels better, I think, sharing this information. Not in all cases. Some people are extremely private and don't want to. But when mom starts getting concerned and dad together, maybe they start getting forgetful. It's time to bring the children in. All everybody sit down and try to strike up a plan of whether mom can stay in her house and everybody can chip in to help, okay? Or we have somebody come in to help mom, and can we afford to do it this way? And the last and least attractive is, does mom need to go to an assisted living facility, and which, you know, as you know, are very, very expensive. So these are the discussions that, you know, will I run out of money? I don't want to be a burden on my children. These are discussions that many people are concerned about, especially women, widows, living alone, they worry about. So these are the type of things that I can help facilitate the discussion and get everybody on the same page, okay? Because I like to teach, not just tell people what to do. What I stress is I have a network that helps me. So as a client, you need a help in a field I have no expertise in. I never pretend I have expertise in a field I don't have. So like writing a document for your estate plan, or picking a supplemental Medicare plan, or picking a disability insurance product, or doing your taxes and complex tax strategies, complicated real estate issues, addiction issues, home and auto insurance questions. I have people, that's all they do in each of those areas, okay? And I refer to them readily. If it's a more complicated question, I simply can't answer, okay? I don't feel comfortable in that field. So anyway, if you'd like to get my Retirement 10 Commandments, go to O'BrienRetire.com. If you'd like to set up an appointment, call 860-415-9614. And if you'd like to email me with a general question or set up an appointment, email me at dobrien, D-O-B-R-I-E-N, at ifgrr.com. More than happy to help you. Love talking to all of you and meeting you and hearing about your families and your money history throughout and whatnot. Once again, when you sit in that desk at my office, any mistakes you've made are immediately forgiven and removed from here on out. So come back. We'll be back in a few minutes and talk further. This is Dennis O'Brien with the Retirement Life Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. Be back in a few. Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group out of Mystic, Connecticut. We are up here in the hills of Ledger, trying to talk about retirement, Social Security, Medicare, supplemental, you name it. If it's concerned with money, your money, we're going to try to talk about it. As I said before, I try to help people. You can't be an expert. You can't have expertise in all areas. So I have a network, an informal network of a lot of experts in a lot of different fields. And as also I said before, the very wealthy, I mean a billion or more in assets, they have something called a family office, where many times they have experts in-house or on retainer that help them in the various fields. The very wealthy understand that estate planning, tax management, investment planning, and risk and insurance management are all intricately related and should be coordinated in their case wisely, so they can save them millions, if not tens of millions. They understand that risk, investment management, all this ties together, tax planning. Just give you an example, all right? Sometimes a client has a large position in a stock in a taxable account, okay? You know, it's a big deal if you sell highly appreciated stock. Okay, you had a plan for that. Say you got $3 million in a particular stock and you want to sell a third of it, $1 million worth, and you have a cost basis of you have a $900,000 capital gain waiting. You better plan for that. Because you're going to owe, you know, 20, 25%, whatever the current rate is. I can't keep track. You got to plan for that, okay? Maybe you spread that over 5 or 10 years, the selling. Will the stock hold up that long? This is all intricately linked, okay? Many times I'll work with outside trust officers in some cases when we need a corporate trustee. And what is a corporate trustee and why do you need them, okay? It's usually a bank that can manage a trust forever or for a very long time because people who was named as trustee eventually pass away. In some cases, you especially multi-generational trusts, a corporate trustee can be named. Now, sometimes law firms like to name themselves as backup trustee. I object. Too many conflicts of interest. So if you see this in your document, do not sign it. They should know better, okay? I do not like when a law firm names themselves as the backup trustee, okay? You should have a corporate trustee, and they're out there, and I know some of the very good trust officers. I'm more than happy to give you a good referral as you write the document. One thing I urge everyone to do as they get older is to simplify, simplify, simplify. Not to be older to do that. It's good to do it at any age, okay? Consolidate your accounts in one place. Get online and turn off the paper, except for the annual statement and tax forms. I know you like your monthly statements, but they're not your friend. They're your enemy. When the market's up, you're like, hey, everything's great. I'm a genius. And when the market's down, you're a moron. You know, everything. It makes you too emotional. That's my point, okay? If you have term insurance and no minors and you're in your 60s, ask if it's really, really necessary to keep paying that premium. A lot of you come in, you have these old policies. You're still paying $200-$300 crazy a month or whatever the premiums. So why do you have this? Your net worth, they're going to get enough. Why are you paying all these extra premiums? So, and if you have whole life, which is really expensive, very, very rare cases, I would definitely turn that off, okay? But you got to do it case by case and take a look at it, all right? Keep a file with directions where everything, including instructions and how to access. You know, the big problem is it's all these passwords and keeping track of all these passwords and everything. A lot of people have online accounts, which I urge you to have, but you also have to keep everything in one place so everything is organized. Number one thing is do not leave a mess, okay? Have everything organized and do everybody a favor and consolidate, and organize. If you're dividend reinvesting with shares held at CompuShare or whatever those dividend reinvest, whether they're actually holding it there, please consider stopping. Transfer shares into your account with your other holdings, okay? Those plans are very tough to deal with when you're trying to settle an estate, okay? Especially if you have a lawyer doing the probate. The estate's going to get charged a lot and just delays everything for a long, long time. If you have bank accounts all over the place, please consider closing them and buy short duration bond indexes in your brokerage account. You get better yield and everything's in one place. Okay? I mean, I know you have money there and you're worried about FDIC insurance. If you have more money in a bank than FDIC insurance and you went to another bank, okay, you're complicating your life. Okay? Close them all. Keep your balance in one bank, your main bank, and put all the other money in your brokerage account with everything else and buy some limited duration, short duration bond funds if you want the same type of safety, okay? You know, you're not FDIC insured, but you're pretty much, if you buy U.S. Treasury indexes, well, they're kind of unlimited insurance, aren't they? Can they change in price a tiny bit? Yes, but you should consider doing that. I'll simplify, simplify, simplify. And if you just got laid off, and you'd be surprised how many times this happens this time of year, around the holiday, as the new year approaches, the layoff notices go out. And they come in to me or any other pro to review, especially if you're thinking of retiring or semi-retiring. I know your stress level will be through the roof, but hopefully I can help you get things straight and get through it. Remember, if you're over 60, okay, near or over 60, and you're making six figures a year at a bigger company, there's a target on your back. If they can, and even if they can't, they will replace you with a kid making $50,000 a year. They do not care as much as you do, I would bet. So trust me, get things in order. Don't panic if you get the notice, especially this time of year when you got everything else going on. Just amazing how they do it this time of year to me. I always shook my head at corporate America. Come on, guys. Don't lay people off around the holidays. Now, if your brokerage account is down right now, and most of them are, if not all, do not panic. This country and our markets have been through dozens of corrections. Oil prices are falling, and interest rates are starting to ease. So do not sell with the rookies and the newbies that are out there that have never seen a correction. Right now, I'm sitting on millions upon millions of dollars in cash. We're looking for things to buy in the next several weeks. It's just a matter of time. You can't keep America down for long. Why do you think everybody wants to come here? I'm looking for income right now, but I'm watching growth constantly, waiting for the turn that'll eventually come. Until then, why not get paid with dividends and interest until it happens? Okay? So these are some of the things that, are my thoughts right now. Many of you have come in, and we've reviewed your situation. Some of you I can help. Some of you I can't. Some of you we can work well together. Some of you, you're better off maybe working with someone else or staying independent. I never force the issue. I think it's very, very important, that personal camaraderie, because when the turn comes and I need to reach you and there's things I need to do, okay, if we have a good relationship, we'll be able to move quickly and get things done when it's time to do things, okay? But bear in mind, in taxable accounts, when I'm very careful of selling things with gains in it. I like to plan ahead for everything, anything we're going to do in those accounts. And IRAs, rollover IRAs, and in your 401ks, you can bring in your statements, and I can help, look at them and help hopefully guide you in terms of, especially if you're getting close to retirement. So, and one person told me, threw out their wallet, and they had their Social Security card in their wallet. I said, memorize that number and keep the original card in a safe place. Don't carry it in your wallet. If your wallet ever got lost, my God, please be careful. Many investors allow their emotions to guide their decision-making process during periods of market turmoil. Selling at the worst possible time could be the most harmful thing to do. This is especially true as retirement approaches, with anxiety regarding potential stock market losses increased tremendously. So as you're getting closer and closer, it pays you to cut back as you're going through that transition and everything else. Should you keep the same allocation toward growth versus income? It's really up to you. We have to, talk about that, stuff like that. Should your allocations change over time with market conditions? Absolutely. There are times when I think growth is way overvalued, and there's times when growth gets way undervalued. Okay? So you have to be aware of that and be able to change things. A stock market correction is defined as when the market index reverses direction about at least 10%, which we've had. Okay? Typically, corrections are negative, meaning the market has been a nice upward trend, and it takes a turn for the worse, declining by at least 10% from the previous high. Well, this might sound like the end of a happy bull market. Corrections are not the pivotal point they appeared to be many, many times. So these are some of the things that have been going on lately. People do get emotional, I understand. But at the same time, the smart ones keep a lot of money in the bank for emergencies. 3 to 6 months, 9 months, sometimes up to a year worth of cash, okay? So when they're investing, they know that it'll come up and down. It gets too high, it gets too low. But they always know they have their emergency cash on the side. So they tend to not act as rashly as the ones that have taken emergency savings and turned it into investments, especially on the growth side. Okay, so bear in mind, those 1 in 20 stocks, they tend to grow faster, but they tend to be more volatile. Okay, so if you want to get the good side, you got to take the bad with it. So that's one of the things I got to tell you. But at the same time, as long as you got income coming in the portfolio, got your emergency money, and as you retire, have no debt. Everything's been paid off, okay? No credit card debt except you're paying off every month. The house is paid off. Cars are paid for. You might have a lease. I get it. You want to drive one nice car. But everything's planned for. You'll be in a lot better shape. So anyway, thank you for listening. This is the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. If you'd like to make an appointment, feel free. You can call me at work at 860-415-9614. You can email me at dobryan@ifgrr.com. Or you can go to my website at O'BrienRetire.com, hit the magic button. I'm more than happy to help you and send you the Retirement Ten Commandments, and you can and or make an appointment. There's never any pressure. If I don't hear from you after the first appointment, I usually let a month go by, and I'll call up and say, hey, you okay? Good. Let me know if you want to, you know, reach out and talk again. That's about it, pretty much. So, anyways, great talking to everybody. Have a great week. Don't spend too much money. Bear in mind, 28% of Americans have not paid off their credit cards from last Christmas. So don't be one of those fools, okay? Be smart. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.